Did y'all miss me much?
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish. Greetings, salutations, and hello. Welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On tonight's show, our guest is going to be actor, host, writer, producer, and recent LGBT activist, it seems. He joins us to discuss his works, what inspires him, and his motivation for working with the National LGBTQ Task Force. We're going to be talking about that and so much more. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And joining us today in Chris's absence is our returning co-host.
Hi, it's Elsie.
And the Queen of Bondo herself.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
You tried.
You'll get there.
It was pretty close. I'm on a severe delay today.
Delayed reaction. I'm excited. So I was watching some videos earlier about Yuval David and some of the work that he's done on his Facebook page, which you guys can go and check out. And the dude is pretty funny and he's very charismatic and he's very cute.
He is very cute and adorable.
You know, so the question becomes, at least the question for him later on will be, what are you good at?
What are you good at, Mr. David?
So since that was one of the videos that like really got me, like just took me in. So maybe we should ask that question. So Elsie, what are you good at?
I'm good at sparkle and bringing joy to the world.
Sounds like a Christmas album.
And it makes me sound like a super queen, which I think I secretly am.
I love it. And Trish, or Nick, what are you good at?
Name it. I'll do it.
Dick sucking?
No, I'm telling you. I'll fucking nail it. Anything I need to do.
He meant that pun.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
You're welcome.
What am I good at? Irritating people?
Yes.
I do that pretty good.
You're also like a super dork, and I don't think people realize that.
So
so you're good at being a dork is what you're saying.
Yes.
I could be. Let me make sure everything's recording. Yeah, we're good back there. So why am I a dork? Give me an example of what makes me a super dork.
So, other than the recent development of you watching Star Wars all day Saturday, you want to post pictures of the fucking specs on your couch? I can't get over that still.
The specs?
Yes. You're like, ooh, look at the dimensions and look at how many movable parts and I can make it look like this.
It's freaking amazing. So anyway, I ended up getting the Love Sack, sactionals, and they're amazing. You can literally do anything you want with these couches, and they're super comfortable, aren't they?
They're amazing.
Exhibit A.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're 100% right. And then also think about the fact that like you are like monitored as soon as you walk into this house. Like the door unlocks by itself.
Uh-huh.
All of the heating, cooling, automated, solar panels. Lighting, everything. I mean, like, you just literally say, hey, Siri.
Do it for me.
And it does it.
I'm waiting for the opportunity for Apple to come up with something. Like, for example, when I say, hey, Siri, do me, something good happens.
Ooh, I like that.
Hasn't happened yet.
Opens up the Grindr app.
It's something.
Find somebody and
find
says,
me
come
a
over.
Husband. Siri, find me a husband.
You're also very good at accentuating how bad I am at technology.
That is true. That is true.
And how I'm so far behind in everything.
She got a MacBook 6 years ago, and she's still navigating through that thing, or trying to at least.
You know, I go on the interwebs with it.
And then she gets a car. It's all push button. Oh, my God. And she can't even operate the darn thing. How many bumpers did you ruin in Brooklyn?
A few, including my own, because there's a button and I keep pressing reverse instead of freaking park. And so I find out once I hear the thud from the...
You don't feel the car moving?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
But then in the Bronx or Brooklyn, it's too late by the time I realize it. Because the car behind me stops me.
I cannot.
Here is not so much of a problem, but parallel parking, my nemesis.
Oh my God, it's my jam.
So apparently we know that she's good at backing into cars.
And I'm good at parallel parking.
Yeah. And I'm good at driving.
Don't get me wrong. I can parallel park the shit out of a car. It's just the buttons.
So you can't in your new car.
She needs an analog car.
My car was analog, and now my phone is not compatible with my car. I'm going to have to get a new phone.
So that's coming soon. That's coming soon. Well, anyway, I'm happy that you've joined us. Obviously, Chris is dealing with school stuff, so he couldn't make it on today's show. So Elsie decided to sit in, and we're always super excited to have her on because, as you can see, she's a funny, crazy girl, and we love her.
I love being here.
It's amazing.
Thanks
to
for
have
having
you.
Me.
So we have a great show for you. We've got a great guest that's coming on the second half of the show. But we have some things that we need to talk about, of course, which we do before we bring our guest in after the break. And I wanted to kick it off with some stories. So one of the first ones...
What about our weekends? Like, we didn't even...
Do you want to do weekends?
I mean, like, we do that every week.
Fine. But, okay, so what are you good at during the weekend?
Well,
I watch Star Wars all day Saturday.
Nothing this weekend. I was not good at anything. And I should probably just preface this show with, I'm not feeling that great today.
Yeah.
So I sound funny, and I might just be kind of like in the background a little bit, which Tom is fully capable of taking over the show.
Yeah, you know me. I just dig in the hat and just, way, topic. So how was your weekend, dear?
I was very good at befriending strangers at Mohegan Sun on Friday.
Uh-huh.
Sat at a poker table. Sat at a poker table till like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wait, did you play?
I sure did. And lost, but not terribly.
Okay.
But it was worth it. This kid was amazing. And then we got chocolate shakes. It was just like a whole thing. And I loved it.
And the guys kissed by God.
Yeah, with his fire on his head. Gingers are magical.
They're like unicorns.
Yes. I was going to say the same thing.
Because it's true.
I do. I have this fascination with gingers. I don't know what it is. I've always thought that ginger is fucking beautiful.
They are. I agree.
They are.
I've never met a ginger that I didn't absolutely love.
There's this one porn actor, and he does like all these commercials, what do you call those? When you take photographs and you do like a whole spread, and pun intended. So
editorials?
Not necessarily an editorial, but like he did
a calendar?
A calendar maybe? No. Just he took a whole bunch of pictures and he posted that online, but one of them is him dressed as Lucky Charms. And the guy is fucking gorgeous. He's a redhead, beautiful, fire crotch, all of that. It's just, I was just like, damn it.
We are walking down a weird path.
But she's already been there. Are you kidding me? She had that in her head on Friday?
Yeah.
There was, when I was in college, this guy, good friend of mine, still friends, he was the most beautiful ginger I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's a redundancy.
I can't. And he is still amazing and great, whatever, but we have the same birthday. And we were in Scotland in college, and he was super drunk on our birthday. We're holding each other, being the lions we are, because we're Leos, walking down the street, and then all of a sudden, he's like, I gotta pee. I was like, okay, take a... You know, go pee. I don't need to help you, even though I wanted to.
Right.
And he's like, just come slobber my knob. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. What is happening?
She
he's
did
like,
it.
Come on, slobber my knob. I'm like, no, I cannot do that to you. I'm sorry. But then again, I don't know if he thought he was with me or someone else. So,
wow. Okay,
so he was pretty drunk.
Yeah.
Schlob on my knob. I'll never fucking forget that. And it wasn't a knob. Let me just put it out there.
Most gingers aren't. I'm telling you, which is why I always say they're kissed by God. All right. So, gingers out. Weekends out. I just watched Star Wars. Nothing interesting. At least for me it was. But all six movies, the originals. And then I jumped in the following day. I did The Force Awakens. And then I just got to watch The Last Jedi. And then when the new one comes out on DVD, which I've already watched it in the movie theaters, I will rewatch it again with my puppies on my TV.
Dork.
I know. Thank you. All right. So listen, speaking of TV, good segue. Look at that.
Queens of you.
Segue. There is a new show coming out, and it's called The Thing About Harry.
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Thank you. And it's played by an actor, Bareilles. He plays Sam. He's a gay man who embarks on a road trip from Chicago to attend an engagement party in his small hometown in Missouri, where he's faced bullying for bravely coming out during high school. The catch is that he ends up having to take this trip with his high school nemesis, Harry, a jock who's about to be on a road to more self-discovery with Sam, obviously going with him. The Thing About Harry is a gay-themed Valentine's Day romance directed by Good Trouble and Foster and the Foster's creator, Peter Page. It's set to premiere on the network in February, and the first trailer is already available. We're super excited. We're going to have it on tonight's post. More information. Actually, what is the network that the movie is coming out on? Because I know they had it in here. The movie is going to be released on Freeform on February 15th, and I'm excited because, you know, there was this whole controversy with the Hallmark Channel over the holidays about all the things that happened, and people were trying to like say, oh, we're going to boycott them and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fine, I don't watch Hallmark anyway, but it's good to see that we're taking the initiative as a community to make films in where people can identify with some of the characters that are on TV. I think that's important. And because, again, I say it over and over again, I don't get tired of saying it, visibility in this community is our biggest strength. And it's beautiful to see things like this happen. So, thoughts? Will you watch it?
I absolutely would. It's just important for the younger kids.
It is.
To find themselves represented in TV shows and understand that they're not alone, that they can reach out and that there are other people just like them. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with their feelings.
Absolutely. And Nick, why don't we do a movie night when it comes out?
I mean, yeah, obviously.
And like get like, you know, food and finger foods and wine and champagne and alcohol. And we can sit down and all cry together.
Yes.
Because you know there's going to be parts in this movie and we're like, you're going to want to cry.
Well, you've all witnessed my vulnerability.
But yeah, I'm excited.
I'm confused.
Honey, it's okay.
Who's starring
you can
in
come
this
out.
Movie? So, oh, no, honey, I've been out. We all know that.
So in this movie, we've got two actors that are starting in the film. The first one, according to the story, is Bareilles, but I don't know his first name. Interesting.
What? I know.
Jake Bareilles and Nick Turho are the two, you know, like main protagonists of the movie. And one of them was actually on Grey's Anatomy. That's all I know.
I'm obsessed with Grey's Anatomy.
So, but I'm excited. So February, again, it is released on February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day on Freeform.
Oh, fuck. That's right. I'm staring at it. I'm like, who is this guy? So anyway, Grey's Anatomy. We talked about this. I love Grey's Anatomy. Literally just watched the new episode. But anyway, so Jake Bareilles, I'm like staring at him. I'm like, I know your face. I know your face. And then you said Grey's Anatomy. So he is the first character on Grey's Anatomy to play a gay man,
which is amazing,
and have a gay relationship on Grey's Anatomy, and to see him in this movie, that's amazing. That's so great.
Well, the first man, right?
Yes, there have been lesbian relationships, but
yeah, because when you think about Dr. Torres, and she was married to one of the other doctors there who was in prenatal care. See, I watched Grey's Anatomy a long time ago too.
She was in Peds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Peds. There you go. Thank you. And yeah, but it was actually Torres, right? The character's name is Torres, Dr. Torres. Mm-hmm. I loved her. She
the
was
the one with
very,
the chunky lips.
Yes,
forget it.
Yeah, she's. Anyway,
so there were Dr. Arizona Robbins was her wife.
Yes, and she was in Pete's
mm-hmm.
Pediatrics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, I know my lingo. I tried.
I don't know. I just love the show. That made me really excited because I was like staring at it. I'm like, I know this person. And it just popped into my head. So sorry to derail the convo.
No, 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 that's okay. And so speaking of representation in movies and things and all of that good stuff. So I was at work about a week and a half ago, and Elsie and I have the pleasure of working together during the day. Well, not as often. We don't see each other as often as we used to because we're in two opposite sides of...
where is Tom again?
Of the spectrum.
Where does he work?
What is it that you do, Chandler?
I'm in the military compound. Yeah,
he's at the factory.
Yeah, at the factory.
I can't. That was my favorite. Oh, Tom couldn't get out of the factory.
Yeah. So I was walking into the cafeteria to get breakfast, and one of my coworkers literally just ran up to me. I have been looking for you. Thank God I found you. I need to tell you something. I need to talk to you. And she goes, my son came out to me, and I'm so happy, but I'm also so worried, right, because of the father's reaction. And I know them. I've known them, you know, since this child was a baby.
Is he not out to the father yet?
He was in the process of trying to tell him. And
we need an update.
Yeah. Other family members have encouraged him to do so. And I think that the initial shock is going to be tough. Because the father is very macho and very, you know, your stereotypical Puerto Rican,
Latino
person. But I think that he's going to be okay. You know,
I think so.
Deep down, I know that he's going to be okay. But I'm so Elsie put it best. You were like, oh, my God. So she found like her one token gay to go and say, you know, hey, my son came out.
Literally.
But I found it heartwarming and endearing that she made it a point to seek me out at work and tell me that her son came out. And I'm super proud of her. She has come a long way as a person and as a mother. And I am so happy that she's elated that her son came out to her and that she now is going to rediscover her son and know him for who he truly is going to be.
I'm super excited about that. You know, he has a relationship with my niece and they will play together all the time. And we always sort of kind of knew. And so when she told me, I was we assumed. Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the correction. And when she told me, I was just so excited and it made me so happy because he's still so young. And that means that he took that step before going through so many hardships.
Can I ask how old he is?
He's 14.
14, I believe. Yeah.
Wow.
He's very young.
Right. So he doesn't have to go through all the angst through high school of having to live as someone that he really isn't. I'm just so excited.
I am too. I want to look, all I want to do is just like, you know what? I was like, bitch, come on the show.
Yes.
Sit with us. Tell us your story. Tell us how you feel. You know, give encouragement to other mothers out there that may be waiting for their children to say, hey, ma, you know, I'm gay or I'm a lesbian or I'm non-binary or maybe I want to be transgender and to receive it, to receive that news the way that she did and how positive she is about everything. I mean, she's been through her struggles in life. She lost her mother when she was fairly young. She had to raise her siblings. And, you know, she's very hardworking and such an amazing person. And I think that this young gay man is going to be a beacon of light for her in her life.
I think so, too. And he's the sweetest little boy. Yeah. I love him.
Can I ask how, does he have any siblings?
Yes.
How many?
Three.
Where is he in the lineup? Do you know?
He's the middle child of the first three.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's a tiny baby.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so
you want to ask more questions so we can narrow this down some more?
So no. The reason I bring it up is
her hair is brown.
You know, I talk about it all the time, but I talk about the TED Talk that I'm obsessed with, and I find it really interesting that you're telling me a little bit about, you know, the history of this mother, your coworker, and
I wanted to say as much as I could without
of course,
obviously. You know, I, she doesn't even know we're discussing this on the show. So I want to be respectful too.
But the only reason I was asking is because there's this like concept of emotional intelligence and support that homosexuals bring to a family. And you said something like he's going to be
a beacon of light,
a beacon of light. And I think maybe that's what she needed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with that TED Talk, when he was talking about, the mother, you know, during the pregnancy placing epigenetic markers on the genes, it could have been, I mean, like, I'm really obsessed with this TED Talk, and I think it makes a lot of sense, because I think a lot of families find themselves in a situation where they need somebody that's going to be the glue and hold it together and uplift the family. And I think you're 100% right. I think that this kid is going to be a beacon of light for her.
You should see her glowing. I mean, she was glowing. I mean, she was walking around with a halo of just shine around her.
And he will be that beacon. And it's not just because of whatever the circumstances or his preferences. This kid is so sweet and so attentive and so helpful. And now the fact that he doesn't have to live as someone that he really isn't, mm-hmm. it's only going to be better for mm-hmm. him to continue to grow and continue to become this amazing young man, which mm-hmm. which he already is.
Yep. And having the support of your family is...
It's huge. It's
and
it's
friends.
Huge. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, Elsa, we know.
I'm just done.
Again, and right now he's currently going through that whole stressing about how am I going to tell my father and how is he going to react. And once I think he gets over that hurdle, the rest is all going to fall into place. I think that things will work out beautifully.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this because yesterday I watched Love, Simon again.
Of course you did.
Because I love that movie.
And she sat on the couch and cried.
Yes. But that moment with the father and the son, mm-hmm. where he just, you know, how did I miss it? How did I not know? You haven't changed in my eyes. I love you. They hug. They cry. Dad, stop crying. Because I can't handle it, you know, like it's like such a powerful moment.
Yeah.
And when he also says to his parents, I'm still me. I'm the me you've always known. Nothing's changed. You just know this thing that I've been holding close to me and not sharing with people. That's the only difference.
And that is such a, I have this conversation all the time. We tend to define people in the LGBTQ plus K, A, B, C, D, J, 3 to the 10th power community. No, I'm just kidding.
Wrap it.
We tend to define someone who has a sexual preference outside of the norm by their sexuality, which is insane because maybe I'm into some nasty shit. You don't go around defining me for whatever my sexual preference is. I like trees. I hump them. You don't go around.
Are you coming out on
just
a
little bit?
Talk?
Just a little bit. Work with me here. I need this to be a safe space.
It is.
But people don't go around saying, oh, this is my friend Elsie. She humps trees. So why do you have to be my friend Tommy who's gay? How is that of any consequence? That doesn't define you.
Right. But because we have to actually come out.
Right.
If you are a tree humper, which is fine, live your life.
Thank you.
If you are into bondage, if you are a swinger, you don't have to necessarily come out to people. You can live that life and it's fine. You don't have to come out because what you do in your bedroom as a heterosexual is normal. It's fine. Whatever. And
we
if
don't
it's
care.
Out of the norm, we don't need to know.
Right.
But as a gay individual, you have to come out and say, I'm gay or I'm trans or I'm a lesbian.
Right.
And in doing that, you are walking, you're walking yourself one step away from what is considered the norm.
Right.
And that's why we're identified by our sexuality.
Right. But I don't, so it's not taken away from what it means, because there are also legal ramifications to identifying the community, because we want to make sure that there are laws that are protecting the community. But on a human level, and this is a conversation I have with my nephew all the time, the old one, not the gay one.
Okay.
He just happens to be gay. We have these conversations all the time when I explain to him, on a human level, it is important for us to stop creating those labels, because mm-hmm. it just makes things harder for us to bridge that gap where we're looking at someone whose sexuality is out of the norm as someone different just because of their sexuality.
But we have to be careful when we say things like that, in the sense that, for example, that label also creates an identity.
Right.
It's surrounded by an identity. So in the LGBT community, for example, you know, a transgender woman can have sex just like a regular woman can if she's gone through the whole notion of, you know, doing the change and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important for people to know that she's a transgender woman. Or maybe if she doesn't want you to know, then you don't have to.
Right.
But if she does, that label gives her a sense of identity of who she is as a human. Mm-hmm. But it also could be taken too as part of in a sexual way. So there's a flip side to both of those.
I don't want to contradict what you're saying because I think you're right. In aspects, but I also think that Elsie's right as well. I think that stereotypes need to go away, but I don't think that right now it's going to happen. I think right now the reason we identify so strongly with transgender, gay, lesbian, bi, whatever it is, non-binary, queer, whatever you're identifying as, I think we're identifying so strongly and so visibly because we need to right now. And I think that because we're doing that in time, we won't have to pigeonhole or identify ourselves in that way. You know what I'm saying?
Because, no, I agree.
Because at the same time, when like you said, one thing that like just triggered that thought in my head was that a transgender woman can have sex like a normal woman. A transgender woman is a normal woman.
Right.
Well, in a sense, yes.
And but identifies as transgender because they need to right now.
Right.
Let me rephrase what I've said. I said a transgender woman can have sex. And what I said before, what I'm saying now is a transgender woman can have sex just like any other woman can. But that marker, that identifier that identifies her as a transgender woman is also a sense of identity, right? Because right now we're fighting for what identity is most important within all of the realms of our community. You know, like the trans community right now is really going through some shit. And as a community, we're trying to come together to fight for them and to advocate for them and to
just
hope.
As they did for us.
Exactly. And so, so there's certain things in where identifying who we are from a sexual perspective is more so of an identity thing rather than the act of sex, right?
And also a power thing right now, I think.
Of course.
I think it's a status and a power thing. I'm identifying this way so that I can have this conversation with you and Elsie. I'm identifying this way so that future kids don't have to have this conversation with you and Elsie, their parents, whatever. We are having this conversation and identifying and embracing the power of our sexuality because we need to right now.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to see.
But also, on a side note, which I know we need to go to break, but like people shouldn't have to... I mean, like, people shouldn't be so nervous about talking about sex. I mean, like...
That too.
Like, sex is sex. Like, who gives a fuck what happens in somebody else's bedroom? But, like, growing up, like, as an Italian Catholic American, my parents didn't talk about sex. You know, we didn't talk... Now we do. Now we have more of an open dialogue, and that's healthy. It's healthy to be able to have a conversation about sex, not only with your friends and your family, but with your kids, because you need to normalize that for them. You need to make sure that they're going to take the right precautions when it comes to the time they're going to start having sex.
I think we have our counterparts in those growing up in the 70s to thank for that whole sexual revolution and freedom, flower power.
Wasn't that you though?
Yes. Fuck you. All right. Well,
bitch.
Listen. Oh, Lord have mercy. So she's not coming back after break. I'm just letting you know she'll be dead.
Yeah, I made some good points.
But we are going to break because we do have a guest. We're going to be back with Yuval David. We're super excited. So here's some music, and we will be right back.
To pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth, 'cause we need to be loved. So we need to be loved. If I heart just like a crown, and if it beats for me, then I would never put it down, 'cause we need to be loved.
Well, welcome back, right?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. Of course, that was We Need to Be Loved by the incredible Anthony Starbell. We just had shots, so I'm trying to, like, get my breath here. But anyway, as we told you before, during the first half of the show, we have a super exciting guest with us tonight. I'm excited, and I'm hearing some noises, but that's okay. We'll just keep going. Our guest tonight is, of course, actor, host, writer, producer, and what I would like to consider an LGBTQ activist. We have Yuval David with us. He recently took part in the National LGBTQ Task Force, which is a Creating Change conference in Dallas. And we have him here to talk about that and so much more. Welcome, Yuval.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, we're super excited. So I was running around all day today, going back and forth with Steve, trying to get connected and make sure that we had everything that we needed to be able to do today's interview. But we got it, and it's done, and now you're here.
I'm here. I'm queer. I'm used to it.
So am I.
Me too.
Wait.
Anyways.
Me too?
I mean, like, by default.
Yeah.
Nice. So, well, you know, that's why we also have so many letters and the plus at the end of LGBTQIA plus. We
right.
include anybody who includes us.
That's yes. right. You know, you want to be a part of our team, a part of our group, come join us. We're fun, loving, and we know how to party. So
yeah, today I kind of wafted between the G, the B, the Q. I don't know which one I am.
It's okay. Be them all.
Oh, I'm definitely the G today.
So before we get started, let's introduce ourselves so that you know who you're talking to. We'll start off with you over here.
So I'm Nick, or Trish.
I'm Nick.
Hi, nice to meet you officially.
And I'm Tom.
And I'm Elsie.
So Elsie is joining us as a guest host today because one of our other hosts is not here. He's doing some school stuff, and unfortunately he couldn't be on tonight. So you're getting us three. So I hope you're prepared.
Yes. I like people who are on, and when people are off, you know, they're off, and that's okay. Hopefully you give them the opportunity to come back on. But Elsie, you are divine, and whatever it is you're wearing, it's very regal of you.
Thank you.
Hold on, time out. What about me?
Don't do that. Do not steal my thunder.
I did listen and was hoping you'd wear another turtleneck like did on a past episode. Because even though I'm not wearing one, I really like turtlenecks. But you're not wearing one, so I'm disappointed.
So long story short, I had to order some more and it happened today. So don't worry, it'll happen again.
So, Yuval, before we get started, would you happen by any chance, I want to make sure that we capture your audio and that you come through crystal clear. Do you have a pair of headsets maybe that we can use?
Yep. Let's do that.
Fantastic. So while he's getting those headsets, we're going to be talking about some of the work that he's been doing recently with the National LGBTQ Task Force. This, of course, I believed happened last week. We were trying to get him on the show before it did so that we could sort of kind of, you know, wish him well into this conference, but you're going to give us some details on that. And then we're going to talk about, I want to talk about everything. I want to talk about all your acting work, all your production work, everything that you're doing, because you seem to be quite the busy man. And I'm super excited about that. And
you hear me better now?
Much better. There's still a little bit of
getting feedback.
We'll make it work. Let's start off with who you are. Why don't you tell our listeners who you are, how you know, a little bit about you, and then we can jump into some of the questions that we have lined up.
Well, I very much enjoy the concept of branding and brand statements, and I developed my own as I'm an actor, host, and filmmaker who aims to entertain, uplift, and inspire. The way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And those concepts of entertain, uplift, and inspire are part of everything else that I do. My relationships with my family, my friend, my amazing, handsome husband, when I teach workshops, when I'm directing, when I'm producing, when I'm acting, I'm always entertaining, uplifting, and inspiring. So I think that goes into everything I do. As an actor, I am lucky to act and have these incredible opportunities to play beautiful roles in theater, film, television, and voiceovers. As a filmmaker, I direct and create my own content. I produce about a dozen web series, short films, documentaries, social media videos. I also create content for organizations that deal with topics that really hit home for me. So I try to help other people use creative content to further their own missions. And that's what I do. I speak. Yeah.
So how does that feed into the LGBTQ plus community? Because that's a big thing for you. So how does your work then relate to the LGBTQ plus community? How do you support us in that way? With your speaking and your acting and all of that?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, that could go back to that statement I made earlier, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. You know, we are every element of who we are, we bring to the table all the time. So I proudly am part of this incredible LGBTQ plus community. That's part of everything I do, even when I'm acting in a role that might not be a gay, bi, or queer male. in terms of the advocacy work, I create documentaries for the National LGBTQ Task Force. I create documentaries about LGBTQ content. Right now I'm directing a feature-length documentary all about the intersectionality of the LGBTQ community and faith-based communities. So I love to create. I love to explore my artistic and creative voice and express myself the way I do as an actor, as a content creator, as a filmmaker. And that's a perfect platform for me to deal with the LGBTQ community, but also with the topics and the concepts that are being discussed in the news right now.
Right.
So why don't I deal with it in a creative way? And that's what I do.
So let's talk about the National LGBTQ Task Force that you just mentioned. What is it? What part do you play in it? And how does this organization help the LGBT community? Because it sounds like it's a big thing. And I really want to learn a little bit more about it.
Yeah, well, the task force is one of the oldest and most prominent LGBTQ plus advocacy and lobbying organizations in this country. It's one that has affected my life for longer than I've recognized. I've been involved with it since I was a teenager growing up in the DC area, and I was the beneficiary of being invited to events to participate as a young teen and 20-something year old activist, and as an actor and an artist who was connected to the community. Eventually, I was able to work more and be more successful within my own career. And I was able to also support the organization, not only with my donation dollars, but and not only with speaking at their events or emceeing events, but to say, hey, this is what I can do for you creatively. I already create content. I create web series. I create documentaries. I direct and write my own content. I also, you know, act on network television. All that's wonderful, but this is what I can do for you. How can I help you? And I have the answer. They're like, what do you mean? I said, I want to create this film content for you. Because they do so many amazing things, like FedWatch, which monitors the Federal Register. Anytime any LGBTQ-related topic is mentioned by our elected officials, the task force has created this organization with other partners that will then comment on these bills that are passed. And anytime they comment on it, our elected officials are forced to answer. So they say, oh, wait, hold on for a second. You guys spoke about our community. Let's talk about this.
Interesting that you mentioned that. So in the past 2 or 3 weeks, we have learned that over 13 states have introduced legislation for anti-LGBT bills on the legislative level for the state level. So when you're saying that this, you know, this particular task force is vigilant and getting notifications about all the things that are going on at the state level or perhaps a national level, how does your organization or how does this organization react then? So you're saying they respond and say, you've said something about our community. This is what's happening. What next? Do you guys mobilize? Do you go into, okay, this was mentioned, this is happening, how can we help? What happens when you finally get some of that information in?
Yeah. Excuse me. I have a little cough. Well, first of all, I'm honored to have you say you guys. I mean, I'm not a staff person for the task force. The National LGBTQ Task Force is run by incredible people. I'm a supporter and an activist who's supported by the organization, but I also in turn support the organization itself. So what does the task force do? Anytime there's a topic that needs to be addressed, anytime an elected official speaks about our LGBTQ community, if it's a positive way, then they'll talk about that. If it's a negative way, then they will definitely talk about that. The task force also helps so many activists who are on the ground, so many grassroots organizations, whether they're students or people who are campaigning to become elected officials or other organizations, the task force steps in to support them, not only financially, but with information, with facts, with research, with materials, with other comparables, with other organizations saying, oh, okay, Tom, you need to know Nick because of this, this, and this. You two are handling or dealing with the same topic. So the task force really steps in amazing ways, which is why I've been involved with the organization for, you know, 20-something years.
That is amazing. It's amazing to know that something like that exists, especially in our community. And given the political climate that we find ourselves in, having a resource like that is huge. It's incredible.
Having a resource like that is so important. And one of the other reasons I'm so involved with them is not only because I understand the great work that they do, but I also understand that they need more help. They have too small of a budget. And right now, while we are part of this LGBTQ plus community ourselves, no matter which letter or even just the plus, our issues aren't in vogue. Yeah, that was you, Elsie. You're the plus. You know, LGBTQ issues aren't necessarily in vogue as much. Foundational support is not going to LGBTQ organizations as much. And the task force definitely needs more support. So I step in, again, not only to say, hey, yes, I definitely believe that my hard-earned money is not just for myself. It's to make this world a better place and to support people who could use some of my money or the organizations who could use my money. But it's also to say, I'm an advocate. Yes, I'm an actor, host, and filmmaker, but I advocate on behalf of every community that I'm part of, every person I represent. I don't only represent myself, I represent my family. I represent my ancestors. I represent the community that I'm from. I represent the LGBTQ community, the Jewish community, the Israeli community, the American community, the community of first generation Americans, the community of people who are children of immigrants to this country. I have to do my best to help all of these communities. But what we learn through advocacy and activism and representation is when we focus on one specific community, we're helping so many other people. Because while we're all unique and we're all different, we're also all the same. So right. Fighting for LGBTQ rights, or right now the task force focuses specifically or has a wonderful focus, let me rephrase that, on the black trans community. So while they're focusing on trans people of color and focusing on their rights, at the same time, they're helping all of our rights. Because we've heard this phrase said so many different ways. LGBTQ rights are human rights, and human rights are LGBTQ rights, or women's rights are human rights, and human rights are women's rights, or Jewish rights are human rights, and human rights, you know, I could go on like that. When you help one person, you help a world. When you help one specific part of our community, you help our entire community. And the LGBTQIA plus community is the most diverse community in the world because indeed, we happen to be part of every other community,
right,
whether they like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, it touches, literally, it touches on every aspect of life, right? Because everyone knows someone that's part of our community. And so even just by being friends with someone or knowing someone or just being an acquaintance, you change perspectives.
Yes.
You change the way people see you, mm-hmm, and or see the community or see others for that matter. So I agree 100%.
So I'm wondering, so you have a wonderful resume. You have a wonderful career. How did you find your way from being an actor to activism in this capacity? Like, what was that path for you?
The path was my career as an actor started when at a time where I tried to blend into society, where I tried to be that actor who can play every role. I happen to speak many different languages, and I specialize in accents. And I was like, oh, I'm an actor. I could be anything. You want me to be this? I can be that. You want me to be that? I can be that. But I realized that the reason I was getting roles is because what I was bringing to the table.
Right.
And what do I bring to the table that's completely different than all of the other actors? It's me. So the most compelling performances are when there's an authentic, genuine vulnerability that's expressed. And then we connect to that. And then we realize, oh my gosh, so he just revealed this. That makes sense for me. You know, that's now the voice of the audience. My audience sounds exactly like me. No, I'm kidding. You know. when I realized that what I was bringing to the table was me, and that I need to highlight myself, I started highlighting myself more and saying, okay, this is what I bring to the character, not I can become what I think other people want me to be. Mm-hmm. It's let me just be me.
So I've told this story on the show before. I don't know if you know, but I also full-time work in theater. And I had a very powerful experience when I was, it was right after my intern year, I saw a show. I'm sure you know it, Edith Can Shoot and Hit Things by Ray Pamama.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. And I have never gone to a show as consistently as I went to that show. I went as many performances as I could go, I went to it. Because it affected me in a way that I had never experienced before. And I'm wondering if you had an experience where either performing or seeing something that kind of sparked this for you, right? So, like, did you have an experience with a fan or an audience member, or did you see something that made you say, all right, my story, what I'm doing right now is important to tell, and this is what I need to keep doing?
I'm as you asked that question, so many images flooded my mind, and it made me realize how lucky and blessed I am and have been to have so many of those experiences. In theater, in the art of theater, okay, I get philosophical often, and I get super artsy.
I can tell.
Tone me down if you ever need me to. In theater history, a term developed called comunitas. Comunitas is a Latin term which means the development of a community in one specific moment. And that's what happens to our audiences in theater. One of the most empowering sensations I have on stage is when I see the audience react together, these people who maybe didn't know each other. You know, somebody who's sitting in row A2 and somebody who's all the way up the upper balcony are leaning forward in their seats, or maybe crying at the same moment or laughing at the same moment. I just created a community. I made this audience respond in a way that resonated for all of them at the same time. Now, the same thing happens in film and television. I don't normally get to see my audiences, but when I do go to the movie theater or have been to the film festivals where my content has been screened and I get to see the audience respond in person, it's very cool. But I have to think about the same thing no matter what platform my content is. Why am I creating this content? It's because I have something I need to voice and express. Mm-hmm. Who is this content for? And what journey do I want to take my audience on? If I can make my audience respond, then I've succeeded. Whether they think that's a hilarious moment or a poignant moment or whatever it is, as long as they're responding. So you ask, was there one moment? I write a lot. I'm a bit of a monologist and poet, and I put together some of my monologues into solo performances. I think those are the most intimate venues where I get to really connect to an audience. And I have one specific piece, which is a slam poetry monologue, fusing the slam poetry poetic genre and a monologist, a solo performer in theater. And it was about my being Jewish and the way people treat me, see me as being too Jewish or not Jewish enough, and why they should even say that, and the conflicts that I have with my identity and how people see me.
Yeah.
And there was this elderly African-American woman in the audience who was bawling throughout so much of it and just really responding. And I spoke to her later, and she said that I made her feel so seen by what I was doing, because she's always been a very light-skinned African-American woman. And as a younger girl, when our society was sadly different, when segregation was still out in the open and mm-hmm. affecting one of the most important parts of our American community, she felt like she was the other by the white community and by the black community, because she could kind of pass as being maybe white or maybe a different ethnicity. And I said, wow, you know, I wrote this piece about my being a Jewish, Israeli, gay American. And here's this person who has a completely different background than me, but connected to it.
So that is like one of the most beautiful stories. I think theater and film and the arts in general, they bring people together. I read the study the other day about what theater does when you're actually in an audience, and how people's emotions and hearts actually kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, when things...
Come together,
but like equalize. It's almost like everybody's feeling the same thing together. There's actually a study out there about it.
Yeah, I like the term resonance.
Yeah,
you get to resonate with each other.
But it's interesting that you bring up the fact that you're Jewish, which I did not know. But today is an important day, so we should acknowledge that. It is the 75th anniversary of the Auschwitz. Help me with another word, because I'm blanking.
So many people refer to this as the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, which was one of the most, which was the most horrifying concentration and death camps during the Nazi war machine.
But what a lot of people don't understand is that, yes, that's true, but a lot of homosexuals were persecuted as well. And beyond non-Jewish individuals, Jewish individuals, and whomever were persecuted. And then after the fact, a lot of them actually ended up living most of their life in prisons following, at least the homosexual community, following the liberation of Auschwitz and or the liberation of the Holocaust. And I think that it's important that we recognize that, because you sort of brought it up and like popped in my head. And
Give
I was
a nice segue.
Reading about it earlier today, because it just blew my mind. And we're currently working on a show called I Am My Own Wife, which
I Am My Own Wife is an incredible performance piece. I'm so happy you're working on it, because that shows the way that theater can bring stories to an audience when they might not read about it, they might not know about it. I mean, you and what you just said mentioned a lot of people don't know that homosexuals were persecuted as well. I'm not one of those a lot of people. I am around, my grandparents are Holocaust survivors. I was raised around Holocaust survivors. The people in my life all knew that the Jews were the primary target, mm-hmm. but also were homosexuals, were gypsies, were political, I'm thinking in Hebrew all of a sudden, political dissonance adversaries, were the gypsies, were people of color, mm-hmm. you know, wherever they could be found. There were so many people who were persecuted. Mm-hmm. Anybody who didn't fit that Aryan race, and anybody who didn't agree with that Nazi philosophy was either killed or put into the camps. I Am My Own Wife is this incredible example of theater bringing these stories to people who might not read the article or might not read the history book or might not have had the opportunity to learn about the Holocaust in history class. But the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, I also have to say, people think, oh, that's when the war ended. My grandfather wasn't just liberated from a camp. He was put in a death march. He was 5'10" and a half and about 60 pounds. So I'm going to say that again, 5'10" and a half and 60 pounds. And he was wearing less than what I'm wearing now in January in Poland and was on a death march, where if anybody would fall in the deep, snowy, frozen mud, they would get shot. If anybody was too weak, if anybody was too weak to march, they would get shot. So the war continued, and the hatred and the antagonism against the Jewish community did not end with the liberation of Auschwitz.
Yep.
And sadly, as we see today, it didn't end with the Holocaust. Yeah. Hatred is on the rise, and it makes us say, hey, we need to pay attention to this history.
Very much, yes.
Because listen to the world right now. Listen to the voices that are coming up.
Listen to the leadership that's literally leading countries right now. Pay attention, because it's happening. It's happening again. I mean, when you look at our transgender community, when you look at synagogues that are being attacked, when you look at all of the hatred that is going on in the world right now, the reason, so I know that got kind of dark, and I'm sorry for that, but the reason I brought it up, because I think it's important, because I think the power of theater and the power of film, it has the power to send a message, and it has the power, and you have the power as the performer to portray that message and give it to people so they understand what's going on. And I think that is the most important part about what we're talking about right now. Not only are you an activist, but within your work, you're portraying things that are important to convey to the LGBTQ plus and or Jewish and or any community.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky to have a platform, whether it's the platform I was given by being cast in, you know, network shows or other films or voiceovers or theater, whatever it is, or the platform that I created for myself as a content creator. I have this platform to speak about issues because, again, it goes back to advocacy and representation. Who do I represent? Yuval David, right? An actor who chose to never change his name. I'm speaking about myself in the third person for some weird reason, but I was told to change my name so many times to Americanize it. I was like, I was born in Washington, D.C. Like, how more American do I need to be?
Right.
I'm first generation American. How much more American do I need to be? I'm a child of immigrants. How much more American do I need to be? I was raised understanding who I am and where I come from, that my grandparents, that I have a small family, because my grandparents, the majority of their family and friends were killed, and tragically, many of them in front of their own eyes. So I recognize that I live in a country where freedom is celebrated, where ability and opportunities are celebrated. Yes, we were told it's a melting pot. It's not a melting pot. It's a salad. We're all together, but we're all still different, right? We were told, oh, this is the country where the streets are paved with gold. Maybe not. I live in New York City. There's a lot of dirt everywhere and dog poop and stuff like that.
Maybe in Donald's toilet, but, you know, right. not in real life.
Maybe in Trump Tower's toilet, right. But we have these opportunities. So I was able to pursue my dreams, and I created opportunities for myself to pursue my dreams. But I am not, I almost said, I am not my own wife. But no, I'm not my own person. I create art and content for an audience. That means I create something and I gift it to the audience. It's now theirs. I'm representing characters which the audience hopefully will resonate with. It's now theirs. I take topics and I put them into documentaries. It's now not only the audiences, but it's also about the people who I bring to the screen, the stories that I bring to the screen. It's now theirs. That's what America is about. And that's what we all have to fight for. And anybody who tries to only give rights to specific parts of America is not American.
Agreed 100%. So you've done much work. You're producing, you are acting in, and you're doing a lot of social media stuff. I was watching some of your work earlier, and I have to tell you that you become the camera. Like, seriously, your personality comes through. One of the funny things that we were watching, I was watching with Elsie earlier. Actually, we started off our show asking the very same question, is what are you good at? It was hysterical. So I was watching that clip and you going around New York City asking people, random people, what are you good at? But it's like some people really didn't want to engage, but other people sort of kind of, yeah, I'm like, sure, I'll tell you what I'm good at. And I found it very endearing, very, very bold. But you became the camera and you were talking about and describing what you were going to do. And then in some of your other work, it's like the same thing. It's like when you started talking about what you were trying to do, it's like the camera just glued on you and you, nothing else existed and you became one with it. And I think that that helps in getting a message across. You do really well when you do that, in how you address the camera, because I mean, that's your vehicle for being able to communicate with the communities that you're trying to engage. And you do that so well. So, jokingly,
but you're doing that as well. I mean, you're using the microphone, using the camera, you're using the audience, right? That what you're doing right now is the vehicle through which you connect to the audience.
Agreed.
So you're resonating for it. I take the compliment and thank you, but you're doing the same exact thing. What you've been on you've had your show for 4 years and you've done 200 episodes?
Yes. 201. You're 201.
You're 201.
201. That's a good number. I like that. I mean, that's incredible. People are connecting and resonating to your show. We must do that. And if we don't do that well, then we must figure out how to do that well and keep improving on the process. So, like, the the man on the street or person on the street or queer on the street, whatever you want to call me, those segments that I do, basically, whenever I'm not working on another production, I say, okay, I have 1 day available. I have 2 days available. What kind of content can I create? And I like taking the camera to the streets because I've always loved improv. And I love the concept of guerrilla theater, creating theater for an audience that doesn't expect to be an audience. So what happens when you put the camera on people who didn't expect to be interviewed?
It's gold.
And it's amazing. It's so fun.
Awesome. So, Elsie, did you want to chime in on this?
No, I just thought it was really, you're like freaking adorable in the way that you don't get discouraged. And my reaction to people who are assholes, you know, the non-engaging ones, is always, why are we such assholes? And you don't allow it to bring you down and just continue with the same energy. But then when you have someone who engages you, it's gold.
It really is.
But, you know, it's like, it's the concept of free play, right? To be playful. It's like a kid on a playground. A kid will run up to another kid and they'll start playing and have a wonderful time. A kid will run up to another kid and that kid might not play along. So the kid will run to a different kid and hope that that kid plays along. So there's that element that I really enjoy playing with. But it's also the power of manipulation. How can I manipulate this person to turn from a negative reaction to a playful one, to being somebody who excuse me to being somebody who really wants to play along? That's the magic.
And there was a couple of moments throughout that little short clip that we were watching that happened, you know, and like people were like, well, yeah, Sure, I'll play along. But again, it's just magic. So I wanted to ask you, you're doing so much, you're involved in so many different projects. Is there anything that you're working on currently that you want to talk about and let people know that it's coming down the pike?
Gosh, I'm still clearing my throat.
I'm kind of under the weather too, so I get it.
Talk for 2 seconds. I'm going to drink some water.
All right, okay. You do that. So, and the reason why I'm asking him that question is because with such a deep, intense, you know, diversified background, I think that it offers for the potential for him to do really great work. And even working with, of course, you know, he just had this conference not too long ago, and how he's engaging with them and using the power of video and using the power of production to be able to do things like this. I'm interested to know in what other work is coming, because when it's out, I'm interested in seeing it and watching it and engaging in anything that you have coming for us. And you let us know.
Absolutely.
I would hope so.
So I have this series called One Actor Short.
Okay.
Where I go out with my full film crew onto the streets of New York City. And in under 8 minutes, I get random strangers to improvise a scene with me. I direct them through the improv, and they're in a movie.
That's fun.
And it's so exciting to say, hey, you know, you deserve to have a camera on you. Let's play. So you can see that on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/YuvalDavid. And what's exciting is One Actor Short has been gaining a lot of interest from different people in the industry. So I hope it goes far. I'm super excited about it.
So when you just randomly walk up to people and say, hey, we're One Actor Short, here's a script, can you do it? Let's play. And what's your success rate? Like, how often do you get looked at like you're crazy? Like most New Yorkers, you know, don't want anything to do with anyone other than just get out of my way, let me walk.
Right. See, but that's the challenge, and I'm up for the challenge. I'm not afraid or intimidated by the word no. I'm not afraid. Okay, no, at least I know where you stand, and I'll move on. So it's just this fun concept where even the people who turn me down, like, that's usable content. Because now the audience is seeing, oh my God, they're seeing this guy, me, having these weird, awkward moments of having to handle being turned down on camera.
And so with the whole, now I'm curious, right? So I'm asking. So you approach someone, they say no, and you're going to use that video or film to be a part of what you're making. Do you need to get permission from them to be able to release that content? And even after they said no, how do you approach them and say, hey, I know that you said no, but you're in it anyway, so just release it.
So the laws of New York are anything that's captured in a public space is usable.
Okay.
As long as it's something that the human eye could see. And as long as the camera is visible, and we have our placard saying, filming is happening in this area. If you walk into this area, you will be captured on camera.
Oh,
so that covers those bases.
I would steer clear, like 100%. I'm like, face is not on, cannot do it.
No. She hasn't smacked herself with ice.
I would be all over that. I'll give you some improv points.
Nice. But the people who are so exciting to have on this are the ones who aren't actors. The ones who just took a split second to listen to what I was saying in those first moments when I approach them and say, you know, hi, I'm here with my film crew. I'm shooting an experimental film project. And they're like, okay. And I said, what I'm looking for is somebody to play a role in this film. They're like, what? It already sounds like such a weird concept. They say, in under 8 minutes, all I need is 8 minutes of your time. We'll improvise a scene. I'll direct you through the improv. And that's it. And you're in a movie. They're like, what? And I said, yeah, let's just play around. And then we get into the scene. And it's gold. It's so exciting what happens, especially when they're non-actors. I actually try to get non-actors to do this.
That's amazing. So you're saying that this is a lot of these clips of people who you randomly pull who are non-actors are available on your YouTube channel so for them to just go and have a look and see what the fun is all about.
And it's exciting to give people the opportunity to be on set, to have cameras and microphones pointing towards them, because they're important. These people are important. And it goes along with that same concept that I do with, you know, what are you good at, or what makes you beautiful, or better world, what have you done to make this world a better place? Everybody deserves that focus. We're all very important people, so why not give now an acting opportunity to these people who are just as important as any other actor?
So before we wrap this up, there are two things I want to ask you. I want to ask you first, with all of the things that you do, with all of your activism, your acting, what is your hopes and dreams for what you're putting out to the world? Like, what do you want to see manifest from it? And then secondly, before we wrap it up, tell our listeners where they can find you.
He's the third.
Nice. Well, what I hope, I love everything that I'm doing. I just want to keep doing it. I want to do it on a grander scale and reach more audiences and inspire more people. I want to continue to entertain, uplift, and inspire. Where people can find me.
Oh, wow. So I'm surprised because you are very good at monologuing in a very great way. But I was like, oh. That's it. I thought we were gonna like. I thought you were really gonna dive in there.
Lift and inspire. What more do you need than that?
I know that's true. I mean, he wants to uplift and inspire, and that's amazing.
You're
already doing it. So
I want to be uplifted,
honey.
Well, I mean, come to New York. You're in Connecticut, right?
Yes, we're not too far.
We're not too far, girl.
We live in each other's backyards.
That's right. It's a quick train ride away. No, but that's really what I want to do. I want to take my content further, share it with more people, create it with more people. I love collaborating. Collaborating makes me a better person, makes me a better artist. And it also gives me opportunities to help other people while being helped by them. Great, talented people will take me further than I ever expected, whether they're directing me, whether they're the director of photography on a film of mine, whether it's a great actor who I cast, whether it's a writer who writes for me, whatever it is, a casting director who gives me the opportunity. You know, these are all creatives who come together. And I'm pretty findable across all social media. I mean, there aren't that many Yuval Davids out there. So on YouTube.com/YuvalDavid, Facebook.com/YuvalDavid, Twitter, Yuval David, YUVALDAVID. Instagram, though, Yuval David was taken. So I'm Yuval_David_.
Okay.
There was like three of you on Skype. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sad. I don't think we're going to get this interview. And I'm panicking. Like I said, I was
starting. Girl, I haven't used Skype in forever.
We use it all the time.
We do.
So those might be all me. They might just be old.
That's okay.
It counts.
You're actually not the first person to say that. A lot of people aren't using it that much anymore, but we use it all the time because for us, it's way easier to have a conversation with somebody when we're looking at them than over the phone. Like, we get so much more content, I feel like, and connection with individuals when we're looking at one another than when we just have a phone call.
Agreed.
So anyway, thank you so much for joining us. I want to officially invite you to I Am My Own Wife opening night, February 12th at Long Wharf Theater in New Haven, Connecticut. If you want to come, let me know, reach out, and I will get you two tickets.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so
much. I did want to kind of have you wrap this up. You know, when we talk about uplifting and hope and looking at things getting better, 20 years is an amazing amount of time to have been involved with the task force. And I wanted to ask you from that perspective, because it almost feels like we're regressing when it comes to civil rights, especially in the gay community. And I feel like we saw so much progress, right, for about a decade. And it just feels like now we're just reverting back into being fucking assholes. That's my very political term
for
assholes. do you see that from that perspective, working with the task force, where we made great strides and then potentially now we're sort of regressing? Or do you see some kind of hopeful evolution that'll get us to where we need to be as humans to each other?
Well, as a hopeful optimist, I lean in that direction. Just as my grandmother, who lost her entire family, whose entire family and most of her friends were killed in the Holocaust, she always said, behind every cloud, and I'm translating from Hebrew, behind every cloud, the sun is still shining. So we must lean towards that optimism. Regarding what's happening in our society, we're seeing empowered hate. We're seeing empowered animosity. We're seeing empowered intolerance. But we're also seeing it from within the communities. Excuse me, within the communities that are fighting for tolerance. One of the things that happen to people who want so much tolerance is they become intolerant of people who don't want tolerance the same way that they do. So we have to remember that if we are fighting for a seat at the table, all we have to do is bring our own chair and put it at the table. Or maybe a chair is already empty and waiting for us.
And we have to be willing to sit at that table with all the other people that may not agree with us.
Bingo, because they're already at the table. Yeah. And if we don't like the table, I don't necessarily think we need to smash the table and destroy it.
Build a new one.
If we do, and we create a new table, we still have to invite all of those other people to our table.
Right.
That the table needs to get bigger. And we as a community need to also not speak, but listen.
Right.
Yes.
Because let's be honest, as much as we have to talk and say our piece,
and boy,
people still feel a certain way, and we need to hear where they're coming from so that we can address it in the appropriate way.
And hopefully change their perspective in some meaningful way, right?
Right, and you don't.
And then we'll invite Tom, and he can cut them down.
Right, they don't
accept it.
But we I think that a lot of people feel like, oh, well, it's just me. But you can potentially have one conversation. You don't have to have a huge platform or huge access to a great amount of people. You can have one conversation with that one person who doesn't understand that civil rights are civil rights and that human rights are human rights and that you cannot advocate for women's rights and feel like LGBT plus rights are not just as important as women rights or our rights for, you know, people of color. It's a conversation that I have all the time. You don't have to have a great platform. You're fortunate enough to have it, but I can have that effect on the one person that with whom I interact, you know, taking the opportunity to correct hateful speech, even when someone says something that can potentially influence somebody else's view of any one person in a negative way and change that one person's even speech and mindfulness of the words that they use.
But it's not just taking that moment to correct. It's what you're actually doing is educating.
Right.
And, and that's the difference. It's not correcting somebody's opinion. It's educating them on the ignorance that they're unaware of.
Right.
You know,
you're informing them, you're giving them this information, and you're making this insider perspective that you have, you're making it approachable to that person. You're saying, oh, this is what I see. Come, join me. Look at this, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Look at my plus.
Plus.
We're super proud of our plus.
But, you know, that's what it's all about, is it's a... Going back to the LGBTQ plus activism, we're a community. Actually, we're more than a community. We're a movement that was named because of love, how we love and who we love. We need to remember that. I must love every other element and every other person within the LGBTQIA plus community because we're about love. And because I'm advocating and trying to educate and inform people who are against or don't support the LGBTQ plus community, I have to treat them with the same love. So I'm not Christian, I'm Jewish, but the expression, what would Jesus do? There's something beautiful there. So I translated that to, what would love do? Whenever I'm in a challenging situation, I breathe, I listen, I say, what would love do? How can I respond to this person with love? But I'm responding to them because I listen to them. I see them. I hear them because
you
that person deserves respect.
Legitimately. Right. Right. And if we were to care, and people think that I'm too idealistic when I speak in the terms, I love your speech. I'm super on board with the idealism and just the, yes, let's all be fucking happy and stop being dicks to each other. It's really that simple.
Lead with love.
That's all there is, really. And when we're legitimately interested in our fellow human beings and their well-being, it sometimes is something as little as actually listening to them and allowing them to show us what their struggle is, what their happiness is, and be able to share in that. And then maybe we can have a conversation with someone else about this person's experience that can potentially broaden their own and help them evolve, you know, and just grow.
One of the most important words that we're using right now is listen. And as an actor and as a director, I know that the most powerful acting moments are not when something's said, but when something's received, when somebody's listening.
Right.
It's how the reaction happens and how the reaction is perceived.
That is amazing. Well, I have to tell you, Yuval, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you come on and speak these words and tell us, you know, why your work is so important in our community and why, you know, we are going to expect great things from you. And then, of course, the wealth of information and knowledge of knowing all these different advocacy agencies and people that you're supporting, that are doing the good work, that are helping the community. It has been an incredible conversation, and I want to thank you on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew here for coming on board and being here with us for the little time that we get to have you for, but knowing that I can go on YouTube or go on your channel and find you and just watch and get intoxicated by this amazing message that you are portraying to the world. Thank you.
Not just intoxicated, but entertained, uplifted, and inspired.
True. Well, it's all encompassing. I mean, you know, it's absolutely amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for this great conversation. Thank you for doing what you do and voicing so many important things.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. You're more than invited to come back anytime you'd like. You're now part of the family. You're thanks. Gay Talk family now, and you can't get rid of us.
You're a gay talker. Oh.
That's right. And so if you're working on anything upcoming, you know, reach out to us. Let us know. We'll be more than happy to have you back on and have amazing conversation and talk about anything that you have coming down the pike.
With absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that, of course, was Yuval David. He's, again, an actor, an activist. He's a director. All of the good things that come with doing content that really helps our community. It's just an incredible, incredible conversation overall. And we're going to make sure that we post all of his information on our post tonight, including all the links to his social media and his YouTube channel and his website. And please make sure that you check out his stuff. It's really good. Oh, that was intense. That was happy. That was glorious. That was uplifting.
I thought I was supposed to be sick tonight, and I was like monopolizing that convo.
No, that's okay. But it was just like incredible. Like you want to, right? Like you're like, shut up, bitch. I want to talk to him. It's like he draws you in. He does that with his work too.
I absolutely love people who are able to have those kind of conversations where, you know, the negative Nancys of the world will kind of beat you down for it. Like, oh my God, like gross, like really grow up. This is not how things are. But that's part of the problem because maybe things should be that way. And maybe you should be able to speak about them being that way. Mm-hmm. And let it be, as Nick says, you know, a reaction where you it's contagious. And I have, you know, he's so... He gesticulates when he speaks like I do, and I love it. And I'm looking at him like, oh, my God, I'm not too much. See? we're going to be okay.
I love it. I love it. All right. So I think that we should move on wrapping up. So like we said before, we'll make sure to have all his information on our tonight's post. So we're going to move into one of our segments, of course. It's Mama Kim's Minute. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pull out timer for Miss Fang over here for Bondo Queen.
Can I? I'm sorry to do this. I always do it. You know I do it. I got to read this really quick because we talked about it and we're going to go into it in on the Stay in Gay History. I just want to hit some quick points.
Okay.
So we talked about the Auschwitz liberation 75 years today.
That's right.
And it's interesting that that happened today because my story was that. And I just want to make a point that during Adolf Hitler's planned reign, whatever, over 100,000 gay men were arrested. Mm-hmm. 15,000 were deported into concentration camps. More than 40,000 such camps were operated, were in operation, and homosexuals were sent to any number of them. Since we're talking about Auschwitz specifically, 97 men known have been sent to Auschwitz. 96 were German, and 51 within those within the years actually died at the camp. And there was an 80% higher chance of suicide within the gay community in concentration camps because they were seen as, which is surprising to me, but even lesser than. And I the only reason I bring it up, and I know it's like a sad note to hit, but I think it's important to note.
But, you know, but there's,
and I thought it was,
No, but to piggyback on that story, you know, a lot of people don't realize the significance or the importance of where our pink upside down triangle comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It was used as a symbol to identify gay men in concentration camps during this ordeal. And so we took it back. Right. We took that symbol and we own it because we weren't going to allow it to have the power that it did back then. And we move forward as a community knowing that that is part of our history that happened. It can't be undone.
but we can learn from our past and make sure that we don't do the same thing. We don't persecute our own community and learn to come together, learn to be brothers and sisters and in between anything that you want to be, just be about love and love each other and be a part of the community. And when something negative happens, let's find a way of taking that symbolism and making it something positive and run with it.
But I think it's also really interesting to know, and we need to close out the show, but within a group of people that were being massacred, they were still segregated.
Yeah.
And being massacred, both groups, more than both groups. I mean, I think that that is something that within it is very interesting, because within the LGBTQ plus community, we segregate ourselves. And that is something that we really need to not do. And we also need to not do that with our heterosexual counterparts.
Absolutely.
And finding our way to do
that. That's exactly the kind of speech that I try to engage in. Human rights are human rights. So we need to be more inclusive of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, you've all had a really good point about you wanting to fight hate with hate because you're so frustrated and you're just so done with being targeted because of belonging to a specific group that you feel like you have to retaliate in the same way. But it doesn't help. Mm-mm. It doesn't help.
Not at all.
It doesn't.
All right. So I'm going to do a countdown
all right,
here.
Thank you. Let's do it.
And 3, 2, 1. And this is Mama Kim's Minute.
All right, everybody, here we go. So Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, Utah bans LGBTQ plus conversion therapy for minors. Congratulations. Yes. Number two, these loving parents threw their gay son a gay quinceañera. Am I
saying? Quinceañera.
Thank you. Party.
That's awesome.
Number three, the last Chick-fil-A in the UK is shutting down after months of nonstop protests.
Bye, Felicia.
Number four, Katie Sowers. Sowers? Will be the first gay coach at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Which is happening soon.
Mm-hmm. And then 5, 10 LGBTQ plus books to watch out for in 2020.
And all those stories will be posted on tonight's post, so you can actually click on those links and read up on all of those amazing little topics that the amazing Mama Kim sends us every week. Oh, wait, stop. You did 35 seconds. Proud of you. Anyway, but I wanted to... Super Bowl. I'm excited because it's going to be Shakira and J-Lo performing together.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to watch the concert, and then I'm just going to give up the Super Bowl.
I mean, that's what gay people do.
Yeah, pretty much.
No offense, guys.
We'll go to the bar.
Oh, my God.
Drink.
You see how I'm gay?
See? So we're just going to watch the concert and then ignore everything else. I mean, yes, there's tight ends, wide receivers, and fumbles, and people jump on each other, and it's like a whole groupie thing, but I'm good.
Running backs.
Yeah, I'm good. I know, right?
All right. Elsie, do you have your notes open? What's going on over there? Open your notes because you got some read.
That's right. So, do you remember gayrealestate.com? No? So when we say this episode is brought to you by...
gayrealestate.com. Yep, there you
go. See, you got it. So we have to make sure that she got it.
All right.
So we're going to do...
I'm such a space cadet.
We're going to do our gay talk term for today. And of course, I'm going to have Elsie read it, even though she didn't select it. I did. It's my gay talk term.
Actually, why don't you just read it? Because I think Elsie can't find it at the moment.
All right.
You got it? You good?
I'm slow, but I catch up.
All right. So tonight's gay talk term is brought to you, of course, by...
gayrealestate.com.
Damn it!
All right, Elsie, what's our gay talk term?
It's money trick. It's an early 70s term.
Uh-huh.
The occasional John picked up by a non-professional when money gets low. A meal ticket.
Oh, imagine that.
It's a sugar guy.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much. All right. Oh. So on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com. When January 27th. 2006, where New York, the United Nations General Assembly passed Resolution 607 on November 1st, 2005, establishing this day as International Holocaust Remembrance Day of Observance.
And, of course, a symbol that they're using there, of course, is the upside-down pink triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So... we've got some announcements, and oh my God, I hope that we put in some stuff for next week. So,
Elsie, everywhere you see Chris, you
it's
read.
You. All right, so if you love the show, make sure that you go rate, subscribe, and review our show on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, it allows you, our listeners, to get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as we click publish. You can also support us on Patreon, which will give you access to this amazing video that we produce for you every week. Doing so will allow you, our listeners, to actually make a pledge donation to our show. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. I'll see.
And next week, we welcome back Dr. G back for Tales from the Tale and the Wipe Ruiner, our monthly check-in with the great doctor to discuss topics from his blog on medium.com.
All right. So before we move on from that, it was very important that we mention something related to Dr. G. Oh, it's in there? Okay.
Yep. All right. So do you want me to do it?
Go for it.
All right. So speaking of Dr. G, exciting news from Dr. G. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula that gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or a subscription per person on the Future Method.
Nice.
Nick's favorite douching mechanism for his whole...
I felt like I was on a game
show.
Have
you tried it yet? She hasn't bottomed yet. She's a mess.
That doesn't mean I haven't tried it. It's amazing.
It's not only you.
We need to review it, but we don't have time today, but we definitely will.
So, I'm super excited that we were able to negotiate that, and that is important. We're going to be having some stuff done, and we're going to put it on social media for people to be able to get their 20%.
Aww. Like the actual process?
What?
Are you filming the... What?
No, we're definitely not. So anyway, thank you to our guest host, Yuval David, actor, host, writer, producer, and LGBT activist. Cursive. We will have all the social media links on our tonight's post.
That's our guest host.
Oh, sorry.
I'm our guest
host.
Was our guest tonight.
I was literally throwing this like things together while we were talking.
She was speaking like Puerto Ricans eat rice and beans.
Pretty
all
much.
Together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, listen. Do you want to do Chris? You do Chris.
I will do Chris. Chris, I'll do you. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com. What?
You forgot to do something.
Can we put a rubber on it?
Can we put a rubber?
Yes, we can put a dental dam on it because Elsie's reading Chris.
Go for it.
Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com. Sorry. Under show
She's
and
fired.
Episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play, Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab. There you can leave comments, make sure that they're nice, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host. Again, make sure that they're nice. You can also call us and leave questions via voice message. We can answer those for you on the show. You can just call 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Now, before I read my next line, are you ready?
No, because you gave me shots. And this is what's happening.
One.
And a couple of Trulies. Anyway. All right. Well, listen, don't forget that the show is streamed live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.